Welcome to Christ Today. Today we have with us Pastor Alfredo Romero of the Rock of Life Fellowship in Chico. And it's wonderful to have Pastor Alfredo Romero here on Christ Today. It's just wonderful. And we have so much love for our Christian community. God, direct us and help us to speak in a way that is glorifying to you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name, of course. Amen. Welcome, Pastor Alfredo.
Hey, good afternoon, John. How are you doing?
Things are going good for me. Life is pretty easy.
Amen.
But it doesn't mean perfect.
No, it just means we don't go through life alone.
No, That's it. Sure don't. And we're very thankful for the heavenly help we have and the human help that we have.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's wonderful to see you. I always like the fellowship at Rock of Life Fellowship. There are friendly people in that body of Christ. Amen. Glad you're a part of it, because you obviously direct it.
Yeah, you know why we call it fellowship is because when we were developing the church, when we got the call, it was Pastor Rick Stout and I, who's passed on, he's now with the Lord. But we were together. Oh, Lord, what do you want to call your church? You know, because you know, biblically, church is the people, right? It's like us. It's the gathering of the people. Here we are. We're the church. But we thought, you know, Rock of Life, because we based it on Matthew 16:13. You know, Jesus being the rock that's going to build his church, and the cornerstone, etc. Is just how God is that rock that we're supposed to stand on, that firm foundation. Anyway, we're thinking, okay, Rock of Life Church. Okay, we were going through these different types of names, and I thought, well, you know what? Church is great. It's kind of a noun. It's that person, place, or thing. It's a person. But fellowship, see, that's a verb. Yeah. That's action. That's things that we do. We fellowship because we were thinking, well, we want to build a community. We want to build a gathering of people that come, whether they know the Lord or not. We wanted to seek the truth of God's word. And we're, okay, well, we like fellowship, Rock of Life Fellowship. So, yeah, that's how we kind of came with that name.
Well, I want you to know that whenever I have been at the fellowship, the people there have been very friendly, and it's just been a very pleasant experience.
Yeah, we're really blessed. One of the biggest positive things people will say when they visit Rock of Life, they just, you know, after the words, if somebody's new or just visiting, they'll say, you know what, it's just so real here. I just felt like, you know, I just felt everybody's so genuine and friendly. And it should be, right? Every church should be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you pray for that. It's just, we admit that we need to be in church. We need to gather. We need to be in the presence of God. We need to be in the house of prayer. We need to be in the house of praise. because, you know, we're wounded and broken and hurt sometimes, and we are trying to separate ourselves from this world, and what better place to be in to start our week off than in the house of God.
That's right, and so many, all of us, are hurt and broken and weak. It's just we each have a different way of having it affect us.
Yeah, and I mean, not to be critical. I really don't want to be critical, but I've been in different churches in my life,
and sorry,
it's cool. But I mean, it's hard to walk into a church sometimes and feel as if you not that every church is perfect. Okay, there's no perfect church, but sometimes I can be a little critical of some of the churches that make you feel guilty. Make condemnation rather than conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're not worthy enough to be there. I mean, I've been in a church where the pastor basically says in so many words, "Man, when you get to be like me," and I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute here, I want to be like Jesus."
So,
that is critical of that particular church. But I just want to make sure that people know when you go to church, you need to experience God, you need to experience the Holy Spirit, you need to experience to see who Jesus is. So when you walk into a church, you want to gather with people that understand I need to be there, and people that understand that, yes, we're all in this together. We're all trying to strive to separate from this world. We're trying to figure out exactly who God is and what that means to me, our purpose, our plan. Mm-hmm. I'm promoting a church that opens up its doors to people that really need to be there, but also, and this is a big one, can be slightly controversial, but we also need to be aware of the wolves in sheep's clothing that come into a church, that come in to divide and to gossip and to slander and divide the church, because the churches get attacked that way as well. I know that's a lot right there, but it's been on my mind lately, because I feel that's kind of where the church is at. You have a lot of churches out there that are just succumbing to the ways of this world, and churches are being corrupted, and churches right now need to be stronger than ever on the true word of God. And not tickling people's ears, and not compromising, and not watering down the message. All churches, we really need to band together, because there are a lot of churches at one point or another that may have been true in their doctrine of the Bible, but they've been corrupted, and they're being corrupted by the things of this world. So I'm cautious. You know, I need to know who the pastor is. I need to know who he is and what he believes and what his background is and what the mission of the church is and the vision of the church and what the statement of faith and... You know, I just want to make sure that we're understanding that we need to be the true church of God.
This is a problem that goes on within every community also, and it's a political, it's a social issue. And so it's no surprise that it also comes to the churches.
Yeah.
But we stand together as a community, and that's what we do, a community of Christ.
Right. We're the Bible talks so much about community and the gathering and depending on one another and being accountable to one another and fellowshipping together and praising together and you name it. God has called his people to commune together, to lift each other up, to strengthen each other, to have each other's backs and to challenge each other as well. You know, we are to judge each other and challenge each other. And God says that specifically. Hey, God says, let me judge the world. How can you judge the world? They don't know what they're doing. They have no belief in the word. But God says that we are to challenge each other, but he says we're to judge fairly and righteously according to his word and not hypocritically, in the sense of, you know, where God says, you know, pull the plank out of your eye before you complain about the speck in somebody else's eye. You know, we're to make sure that we're judging, you know, righteously.
I also like the unity within a church. And by the way, I was at the last, it was some kind of a food thing at the church of...
Well,
fellowship,
yeah, on the fourth Sunday of every month, we started this year a fellowship potluck after service. So on the fourth Sunday, it's a great time to invite friends and family, get to know who we are, get to know each other, and develop friendships and develop fellowships and develop community and to kind of get used to gathering with God's people. So on the fourth Sunday of every month, we at our event center across the street, we have a potluck. It's a great time to get to know people. So that's what you're talking about, right?
That is. And the last one I did enjoy, and I met lots of people, and that was very nice. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we've been, it's been really great because it's been an opportunity to invite friends and family. And who's going to turn down free food? And it's great food, too. So,
well, I like getting to know people. And just this is what I think our fellowship is about, too. And it's Rock of Life Fellowship.
That's it. That's exactly what it is. It's a verb. It's an action. And that's what we do. We want a fellowship. We need to. We need a fellowship. And, you know, God talks about that. And I think the biggest part of it is, yeah, we have to be in the world. And, yeah, we have to go out and make disciples. And, yes, we have to preach a gospel. And, yes, we have to be a positive influence on the world. But at the same time, God calls us to separate from that, from the ways of the world. And we gather strength when we're among our brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. We gather strength that way. You know, we challenge each other. We develop relationships that strengthen us. And we hear other people's testimonies. We get to know people. True. We hear what they've gone through, and we can relate to it. I mean, there's so much positive things about developing a community of God's people. I don't understand Christians and believers, true believers, that don't gather, that don't go to church and don't gather with other people. They isolate too much. It's almost like they let the enemy take them out of what God has called us to be. The devil wants us to isolate. He doesn't want us growing in wisdom and strength and developing a community and being supported. He wants to, you know, take us off the team, put us on the bench, basically, a lot of times. I think a lot of times Christians allow that. I'm being kind of critical today, and I.
No, well, that's okay.
But that's a good thing, though, because
I have a positive to say.
That was
another
me.
Another positive, and that is that you are a part of, I don't know, pastors within the community. You meet with them.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing too, because we are the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And we do that in different ways.
Yeah. Well, I talk a lot of that from experience, though, because I was at a point where, yeah, I was a believer, but I was isolating. I wasn't going to church. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any real good male Christian friends to hold me accountable that I talked to. I mean, I was kind of men tend to be isolators at times, especially when they get overwhelmed. They want to isolate a bit. And our men's group talks about that a lot. So I used to isolate. I didn't really develop a community of friends. Most of my friends were secular, unbelievers, and that influenced me too much. So I'm kind of talking from experience. I'm also talking basically what the Word of God says. See, the Word of God says that we're supposed to gather. We're not supposed to forsake the assembly people. We're supposed to be accountable to one another. We're supposed to have people in our lives that lift us up. If I stumble, I need a brother there to pick me back up again. Yeah. And the Bible talks about so much about gathering, being in the house of prayer, being together, worshiping together. When two or more are gathered, there He's with us. So how can you ignore what God's Word says about gathering with your brothers and sisters?
Mm. God's word is important.
It's the most important, yes.
I say that with a little smile because of course it is.
Yes.
It's our guiding principle.
Yeah. It's the BIBLE, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.
Yeah.
Which I like.
That's interesting. I mean, just lately, in the last few months, I have known a few people who have passed into the next life. Yeah. And it kind of affects you because you realize we only have so much time on earth, and then we go to our heavenly reward. So that's a part of what we seek Jesus for.
Yeah, unfortunately, we all go through, you know, the passing of somebody important in our lives. You know, in the last 5 years, my dad has passed away.
Yeah.
Our associate pastor, Pastor Rick, passed away. One of my best friends for the last 20 years used to be the drummer in the Christian band that I was in. Chip Pipkin passed away less than a year ago. We just lost one of our best friends and one of our worship leaders, Chris Thompson, passed away January the 5th. My nephew passed away November 22nd. And so it's hard times, but when you remember that this world is so temporary for all of us.
Temporary, yeah.
And it's not a goodbye, it's an I'll see you later.
Right.
And it does hurt, and we do have a time to mourn. But what an amazing thing that Jesus has done for us by defeating death and giving us victory.
Yes, and that's a part of life experience also, is we realize our time is limited, so let us do what is important. Put Jesus right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
How then shall we live? Well, yeah.
It's like Jesus told Satan, man does not live by bread alone, but every word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. So, yeah.
So important.
We live by the word. Yeah, and that's what's important. I mean, we'll go back to the community thing.
Yeah.
You know, we've really prayed. Rock of Life has made a lot of changes this last year and a half. We really felt God was taking us on a different direction. than what we started. Same road that he wanted us on, but different applications. And we basically became non-denominational beginning this year. Our accountability is to Jesus Christ. I'm also part of a Chico Pastors Council, so that I have accountability and mentorship. I meet with leaders in the church. I have a pastor's council. And so, but the thing I'm trying to say is that we had a very concerted effort last year to offer things to people in our church and the community, to fellowship, to join in a community of believers. That I don't expect everybody in our church to attend everything, but we have Bible studies for men and women. We have devotional times for men and women, different times. We now have a community Bible study that's open to the community, obviously. Mm-hmm. All of our Bible studies are open to the community. We have a women's group. We have a men's group, youth group. We have a group for seniors that people want to gather. We have a mom's group. We have events every month for the church. We might show a movie or... we might have a gathering just to talk about different things in the Bible. So we put enough stuff out there that people can find a place at Rock of Life to feel like they're being fed the Word of God, that they can build a community, get to know people. And I do have people, God bless them, that basically, when that door is open, boom, they're there. And they're amazing. But at the same time, because of work or jobs, obligations, family, et cetera, you know, we have people that will attend something extracurricular maybe once or twice a month when they can. That's understandable. But it is so important. I mean, I've never had a better group of friends than I have now. Men, I'm just so blessed because it all develops in that community of God's people. For example, let me read something for you. Like, what does the Bible say about like Christian community? Well, if you can look at Ephesians 4:2-6, and it says that we are called by Christ to this one body. He expects us basically to be in unity with that body. And if you look at 1 Peter 4:8-11, he says that in the community of God, in the community of brothers and sisters, it's the place where we can use the gifts of God he's given us. We can love each other, serve each other without complaining or resentment, without any type of condemnation. We can gather together to build each other up, to lift each other up, to hear each other, to listen to each other, and to gain strength just by our community together. That's what's so important. And nowadays, when the world is basically kicking Christianity out of everything, the Word of God out of everything, and so against the truth, you know, Christians need to band together and be stronger than ever to combat what this world is trying to do to the Word of God.
The world is full of division, and of course, that is a part of the theme of the enemy, which is to divide and conquer.
Sure.
And that's what is going on right now in our government, in our schools, in our families, everywhere.
Culture, society, church, entertainment, you name it.
Yes.
The devil has just created this big wedge. But there's something else that I just want to say too.
Yeah.
It's not just the enemy, because Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace. I came with a sword to divide. So the Word of God divides naturally anyway. Those that are for him, and he says this, you're either for me or you're against me. So the truth of God's Word is dividing people, the goats from the sheep, the left from the right, and basically that's what the Word says. You accept the truth or you don't, you know, and God's, his desire is that not one single person would perish, but we don't come to repentance, the truth of the knowledge of Christ as Savior, but unfortunately, the majority of people, they won't receive that truth. But we keep preaching, and we keep sharing, and we keep telling the good news, and we keep living our life as best we can to be example of that good news in our lives. But unfortunately, people are going to say no to the Word of God.
Yes, and we do keep going, but there are parts in the Bible, I'm thinking of in Matthew twice, where he says, I never knew you.
Yeah.
And that's the part of what we have in our society, too. People who don't know Jesus, and obviously Jesus does not know them.
Yeah. Yeah, and people that proclaim to know Jesus, but they really don't.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that? I don't know. I have no idea who you are. Yeah. You know, people claim to know who he is, but their hearts are far from him. And that's what's scary.
Yes, it is.
I want to make sure that anybody, 'cause here's one thing. I'll give you an example.
Please.
If you ever watch award shows And you ever watch like sports award shows or entertainment award shows or anytime somebody gets an award, sometimes, you know, quite often people will say, first thing they'll say is, I just want to thank God. And, you know, my family, my mom, my dad, my manager, my agent, you know, my fans, you know, whatever. People say things like that, but I'm not moved by that. And the reason why I'm not really moved by that is for two reasons. The first one is I need to hear the word Jesus. I need to hear Jesus. Because are they talking about God big G or are they talking about God little G?
Yes.
And you got to be careful because sometimes people say they pray. And I'm like, well, who do you pray to? You know, I believe in God. Sure. What God do you believe in? Because the word says for even the demons know Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, people can say, yeah, Jesus is Lord. Okay, yeah, but is he your Lord and Savior? Mm. Have you accepted him as Lord and Savior?
Well, you're also reminding me about people who put themselves up as God.
Absolutely.
To be uplifted and be the most important thing in their life. Yeah. So
it's like people that would say, let me go back a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna backtrack. So when people say God, I want to know what God you mean. Are you talking Jesus, God of the Bible? Are you talking? And the second thing is their fruit. Knowing people by their fruit. And so, for example, I say this to my men's group all the time. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, you'll see these people get up there and thank God, and they may even say, "My Jesus," you know. However, what are they winning this award for? Like, for example, Whitney Houston years ago, famous singer. Got up and thanked God for this award, talked about being in church. But the song that she was getting this award for was Saving All My Love for You, which is about a mistress, a woman having an affair with a married man. So I'm thinking, really, are you really thanking God for an award for that? So, I mean, we need to be what Paul says in Ephesians. The eyes of our understanding need to be open up. If we are accepting willfully or even naively sin into our lives without recognizing it as something that's displeasing God, we need to pray for godly wisdom to open our eyes to not just knowledge, but wisdom and the understanding of what pleases God and what does not please God. So that's kind of where I wanted to go with that.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I think of what we can also do as a community, and not to be the main critic of whatever anyone else is doing, but to bring things to their attention, anyone's, with gentleness and love.
And the other part of that is, you know, earlier you had mentioned the fact that, you know, people don't understand kind of like what the truth of God's word is. We were talking about that. And it's like, well, you know, the people that say, I don't believe in God, it's not that they don't believe, it's that they deny. I mean, you can basically look at scripture and everyone believes in God. They just deny him. You know, there's a little bit of faith, a little faith of a mustard seed. You know, God says, you can't look at my creation without saying there's a God. And he says specifically, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for not seeing that there's God, that there's a creator. And so it's more about denial than it is. And people, like you said earlier, this is where I was going to go with it. I had a woman one time found out I was going to Bible school, and I was working with her. And she asked me what I was doing. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? You know, you got any plans? I said, yeah, I'm going back to school. I have to drive down to Fresno. She goes, I'm going to be a pastor. You know, I'm going to Bible school. And she stopped and shook her finger at me and goes, don't talk to me about your God. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. I'm a good person. And I'm like, I didn't say nothing. You just asked me what I was doing. I'm going to Bible school. And she goes, well, I don't want to be told I'm a sinner. I'm a bad person. She goes, I have my own relationship with my own God.
Uh-huh.
And I said, hey, not a problem. You know, just, I'm good. I'm just telling you what I was doing. Anyway, there's two points of the story. The first point of the story is if you have the ability to sculpt and make God what you want, then guess what? You're God. Mm-hmm. You're the one. You're your own God. You've made yourself God. If you can mold and that's what a lot of people are doing. Well, my God, my God wouldn't do this, and my God wouldn't do that. Well, our God of the Bible is pretty cut and dry in what he says. If you disagree with any part of the Bible and you think because of what you think, you can adapt what God thinks, boy, you're in trouble. That doesn't work that way. And the second part about that story is this person became a very good friend of ours just because she was a good person as far as what she thought. But the truth is she needed Jesus. But as a friend and developing a friendship, she visited our church the first week we opened and was visiting and visiting and visiting. And next thing you know, she has a Bible in her hand and tells us she's given her life to the Lord, and which was amazing. God, you know, was, you know, the real Jesus, right? God of the Bible. So it was a good ending. It's getting from don't tell me about your God to Jesus is Lord and believing in her heart, confessing with her tongue, believing in her heart that Jesus is Lord, I mean, repentance and everything. It was amazing. She's a great friend to this day.
Just like you, the story illustrates is that we either search for truth or we search for something else.
Yeah. Well, what happened, I mean, just to kind of like expand on that, mm-hmm. what basically happened was the friendship between her and my wife developed.
Yeah.
Just because of different things that were going on in her life that my wife could minister to her. And they just became great friends. And what happened was what the Bible says, that when she asked about my wife's faith, my wife responded in a gentle, loving manner. And that's what the Bible says to do. Respond in a gentle, loving manner. And if they don't believe you, if they put you down, then the way we live our lives would be like heaping hot coals upon her head. So basically, just the way my wife lived out her walk with the Lord, her speaking truth, but also her living the truth of God's word and the way that she loved people, that was enough for the Holy Spirit to do the work that he wanted to do in her. And it gave her a Holy Spirit experience where she could not help but not deny the truth any longer. And she received the Lord as Savior. And so, you know, the Lord puts things in place and gives everybody an opportunity to say yes or no. Nobody's going to get to heaven, John, and stand before God and go, I've never heard of you. What do you mean? There's a heaven? This is new to me. What do you mean? You Jesus? Who's that? You know, nobody's going to go to heaven and go, I had no idea. Nobody ever told me. You know, it's not that way. Everybody's going to have an opportunity to kneel down, confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Yes. And I'm praying for people that it's now before they pass on from this world.
Yes, and prayer is such an essential element of our Christian life.
Yeah.
To pray for the believers and the people who don't believe all of it.
Yeah. And in the go ahead. But in the community we were talking about, for pastors, there's a big challenge for us right now, and there's a challenge for me to be ingrained in the truth of God's word when it seems like the gates of hell and is just knocking down the door of churches, trying to get them to be corrupted, to accept false truths, to accept the influences of the world. And I said this earlier, a lot of churches are unfortunately bowing down to that. And it's like, it as a pastor for me, I was like, No, I will not corrupt. Like for example, the word of God can't be corrupted, but it can be misrepresented.
Yeah.
And I will not bow down to that. I mean, we read from God's word and we let it down where it goes, and people either receive it or they don't. And we present it in a way that's in love, that's also Holy Spirit will convict, and we do it in a challenging way, truthful way. You know, and that's the way we need to be nowadays. Churches have to be stronger than ever, because there are people that try to sneak in their churches and they create heresies. They cause false knowledge, Gnostics, people that come in and try to lead people astray. Pastors, they have a big role right now to protect this community and at the same time evangelize and tell people the truth in hopes that they'll turn their lives around. Repent, that's a big word, repent and give their lives to Jesus. So, but at the same time, we have to be cautious of the people that come into the churches to do damage.
That's a lot of prayer.
It's a lot of prayer. And it's a lot of responsibility on the pastors. That's why we're doubly accountable for what we do.
Yeah.
It's a lot of responsibility. I've got strong leaders that help me, you know, armor bearers, people, deacons, people that protect the church. You know, we have my prayer team that's deep into prayer, praying for the protection of the church. Because the enemy tries to come in and corrupt.
And that's one of the things that I think we all are faced with, the difference between our faith and prayer. and the action that is required to demonstrate our faith.
Yeah.
It's not that I have an answer to it, but I know that there are people who just see that prayer is the essential part and that they don't have to exercise their faith in the world.
Yeah, that's true. So, like the Bible says, like you know, God demonstrated his own love for us by, you know, giving us Christ Jesus. And here's the thing, though.
That's good.
We need to demonstrate our love for God.
Yeah.
And God's word says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he also says something very strong. Jesus says, you know, my sheep know my voice, and only my voice, you know, will they follow. And in this world where it seems like the enemy is just screaming, trying to outshout, you know, the truth of God's word and just drown it out.
Yes.
And I think that's what a lot of, unfortunately, people are allowing to happen in the church. And then even our own lives, even as a true believer, I need to tune out the voice of this world and only listen to the voice of our shepherd. And, you know, shut off the radio, shut off the TV, shut off anything that TV shows, movies, things that are definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, against the word of God. Why do we feed ourselves that stuff? Why do we let that into our eyes? Why do we let that into our ears, into our minds? We need to shut off the voice of the devil and the enemy and tune on to the word of God and to hear his voice. I mean, even myself, I challenge myself constantly to be cautious of what I watch on TV, you know, what I listen to on the radio, music, movies, especially television shows right now, just laced with Satan everywhere. Amazon Prime has a cartoon out for kids. It's called an adult cartoon, but you know that they're shooting for kids. It's about Satan and there's some kind of lover named Lilith. It's on Amazon Prime, and they portray Satan as a sympathetic character who got thrown out of heaven because he had ambition, and God in his jealousy threw Satan out, Satan went into the garden and had a girlfriend named Lilith, and there was Adam and Eve, and they paint Satan to be this good guy, sympathetic character. And then there's another cartoon on Disney, it's a Disney-affiliated, but it's basically it's about a young girl who finds out her dad is Satan, that her mom had an affair with Satan, and now she's this, you know, little demon kid in school, and constantly the devil is portrayed as the good guy. And now there's even in schools there's the Satan club going around, you know, opening up their Satan clubs. Satan Club even sponsored, and I think it was Minnesota, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I believe it was Minnesota, that they sponsored the school dance. And it's just, Satan's not hiding anymore. He doesn't care about hiding. He's out in the open, and people don't even mind coming out and saying, Satan, whatever. And there's this promo for the Satan Club going around promoting Satan as a good guy. Mm. So it's the song, you can watch it on YouTube. Satan's not a bad guy, and at the very end of this two-minute, you know, promo, it says, matter of fact, it's because he doesn't even exist. He's not even real. One of the biggest things Satan tries to do is convince people, here I am, but you know what? I'm not real because I'm harmless. I know we got off on a tangent there.
No, that's okay. It's a matter of history.
But that's what the community of God needs to protect themselves against, is the lies and deceit of Satan. Man, we cannot allow this in the church.
Not in the church, and not in our own family either.
Bingo. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, all these things are reminding me about how we speak about other people and how God hates gossip.
Yes.
And how that's a part of what we need to keep ourselves pure as we can in our worship and our prayer life.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I mean, God's word is very cautious about us in church, who we let in a church that are coming in purposely. That's the key word.
Purposely
to come in to divide and gossip and slander and lead people away and wolves in sheep's clothing. That's purposely. But, you know, the whole point of what we're supposed to be doing is there's two major things Christians should be doing. The first one is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Mm-hmm. And even if you go back, it says it can add strength. And then love others as yourself. All the commandments, everything is founded on those two commandments. All the other commandments we follow, that's the foundation, right? Mm-hmm. And then the second thing we're supposed to do is go out and make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. Now, if you want to go a little bit deeper, our purpose here is to please God. I mean, here's the key thing, and this is what I tell my church all the time. Our goal in life for that, after those two things, is not to be good people. We will fail. As soon as we get to a certain level of goodness, we're going to blow it. We're going to fail. We're going to sin. I'm going to lust. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to have pride, arrogance, and I'm going to think things I shouldn't think. You know, I might say something I shouldn't say. So I'm going to fail. So throw goodness out the window as far as one of your goals. The key goal is to please God in what we do, what we say, how we act, how we treat others, how we love ourselves, our families. Our goal is to please God. That I don't want to do one single thing in my life that's unpleasing to God. I want everything that I do to please the Lord, to please God, to be led by the Spirit, to honor God, to follow Jesus, and be led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's our goal. Now, when you walk into church, that takes humility, because we know that we fall short of that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need Jesus daily, daily. We need to humble ourselves, go before the Lord in humility daily, daily. So I make no pretense that everybody in church is perfect. Oh, no. We're broken. We're wounded. We're hurt. Some people are mourning. Some people are struggling. Some people don't know the Lord yet, but they're there to find out. Church is a wonderful place to go in fellowship.
There's also a question of how we show our love. Is it through the obedience to the commandments, as you can find that in the Bible too?
Obedience better than sacrifice, you mean? Yeah.
There's many ways, but that's a part of, we will often say Jesus loves us, or we love Jesus, but there's an interactive love that goes on there.
But that's a great point. That's a great point. I mean, how do we show our love to God?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's John 14. Excuse me, John 14.
Mm-hmm.
That says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments.
Yes.
I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. Yeah. So why does Jesus follow up that statement of, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments?
Yes.
Why does he follow up that statement with, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper?
Mm.
Why? Because we can't do this on our own. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me, to lead me, to be that still small voice in my head says, Alfredo, don't do that. Don't think that.
Yes.
You know, I need that Holy Spirit guidance. Where do you get that guidance? And what happens when I let the Holy Spirit lead my life? Read Galatians 5. Everybody needs to read the book of Galatians, but specifically Galatians 5. Because that pretty much gives you a list. And at one point I said, wait, I need a list. I need to know what should I do and what shouldn't I do? Because I'm very analytical, but at the same time, I need plain words. Mm. And I know a lot of men feel this way. If I just knew what God wanted from me, if I just knew what to stay away from in the world, I'd be able to handle it. So when you read Galatians 5, it tells you, when you walk in the ways of the world, you're going to experience unrighteous anger, idolatry, immorality, sexual morality, jealousies, heresies, revelries, coarse language, all these things, selfishness, all these things you're going to experience when you walk in the ways that this world wants you to walk. I want to stay away from that stuff, because I used to go down with like a pencil and go, yep, I did that, yep, I do that, whoop, well, I'm doing that, whoops, I used to do that, whoops, I'm trying not to do that, because I could pretty much mark down everything Galatians 5 said that would happen to me when I walked in the ways of the world. But if you keep reading, it says, however, when you walk in the Spirit, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you won't walk in the ways of the world. What you're going to experience is the love and the joy and the peace, and the patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and this self-control in your life to separate you from the things of the world. So there's this great list in Galatians 5 that really ministered to me when I read it, because I needed it at that time. I needed to know specifically, obey God's commandments, and he's going to give me a helper. That helper is going to help me walk in his Spirit so that I will experience those nine fruit of the Spirits and I won't walk in the ways of the world. I don't want to experience unrighteous anger anymore, mm-hmm. jealousies, revelries, sexual immorality. I don't want to experience all that stuff, you know, making myself God. I don't want that anymore. So Galatians 5, I recommend that to anyone.
That's outstanding. It just is a wonderful reminder that we have guidance and we have a God who loves us and wants the best for us, but we also want to cooperate with the one who loves us.
Yeah. And the Bible says, you know, we love him because he first loved us.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, just God loves us so much.
Yeah. That's one of the things that when we go through life, we can actually think of the miracles, the amazing things that happen in our life. And we know that this is from God. Well, yeah. I know it.
No, we know. I mean, sometimes people, I mean, I meet with a lot of people that don't have faith yet. You know, I call them pre-believers.
Yeah, that's good. That's
I'm walking in faith. I'm a pre-believer. But I'll meet with people that don't exactly have faith yet. And, you know, Rock of Life is I'm really blessed to be part of Rock of Life because it's the Word of God reaches people that either don't have a relationship with God, just starting out, or believers that have been with the Lord for years, and there's enough meat and milk for everyone, and there's a great balance of everybody gets to grow their relationship with Jesus, no matter where they are in their relationship with Jesus, what I'm trying to say. So, but I meet with people that don't have faith, that don't believe in Christ as Savior, and they pretty much all ask the same questions, you know, and they'll pretty much ask me, well, how do you know there's a God? What proof is there is a God? Well, no. An hour later, I mean, I can pretty much tell them, you know, all the proof of God. But basically, I'll say, hey, look, you know, I'm a dad, and I love my children. I love them so much. Anybody that's a parent, obviously you die for your children. You would do anything to make sure your children are safe and harmed and grow up in knowledge and wisdom and safety. I mean, as much as I love my kids and I want them with me, I miss them. My kids are grown up now, and I just miss them. I want them with me every day. Every day I want them. I just if I don't talk to them every day, I tell them I love them every day in a text message or a call or if I see them. I love them so much, right? How much more does God love us? He wants us with him. Just the power of God's love is so much proof of his existence. What are people searching for in this world more than anything? Love, acceptance. Mm-hmm. They want to be loved. They want to be told that you're valuable. People want to be told that they're worth something. And God does that. God says, you're a marvelous work. God says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I know every hair on your head. And I've created you. I love you. I knew your name before you had a name. I love you, and I just want you with me forever. I don't want one single person to be separated from me forever. I love you that much. The power of God's love is proof to me of his existence, because what does everybody want? They want to be loved.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, and this is a part of people who get hurt, or you could say damaged. It's because they did not have a certain love as a young person.
Yeah.
And that is good for each one of us to remember, because we can express that love, yes, as a parent, or yes, as a person, just in knowing somebody. How do we express the love? It's caring and compassion and looking what is best for them, which is heaven. The relationship with God, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, there is nothing more satisfying than a relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. It's just, like I said, honoring Father God, you know, following Jesus and being led by the Spirit. But I've known lots of people that have made that decision for Christ recently.
Uh-huh.
It's been an awesome year. A lot of young people are coming into our church now. We've always been more of a very mixed crowd of people, young, middle, and people that are more older, more senior. A great mix of people. There's just an influx, I think, in the last year of people in their late teens and 20s, early 30s coming into our church. And I try to ask myself, why? What's going on out there in this world that suddenly these young people are starting to come in? Well, when if you look at analytics and statistics and you look at polls, you know, Barna, Pew Research, and others, there is a very deep decline in belief and among young people. And part of that decline is a loss of hope, a loss of trust, more despair, more anxiety.
Oh, boy.
So they're searching. they're searching. Young yes. people are searching for something. Unfortunately, they're, and to quote an old song, they're searching for love in all the wrong places, right?
Yeah.
And what they're doing now, a lot of them are looking at the church. Well, what does God say? And as well, as long as we're out there proclaiming the love of God, the truth of the gospel, the whole complete good news from Jesus to his desire that none of us would perish to what is hell, yeah. to an opportunity to spend life in heaven, eternity. As long as we're explaining the whole gospel and we don't pull punches, but we do it in love, these yeah. young people are listening. We're baptizing some young people this weekend that want to be baptized. This Sunday is baptism weekend for us. And so it's been an amazing year to see younger people come in to the truth of God's word.
Well, I was at Rock of Life Fellowship about a month ago, and I met one of the nicest young people there. I don't know if he was 18 or 17 or something, but just I enjoyed the conversation with him very much. So I know that there are young people in Rock of Life Fellowship.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. We have a large youth group and a young adults group. More people are coming in, but I'm loving that. And at the same time, yes. people of all ages are coming in. People are seeing what's going on in this world, and they're going, okay, something's going on. Some people are doing it because they're scared. Hey, what's going on? Political yeah. wars and rumors of wars and diseases and pestilence and famines and natural disasters.
True.
And it's everything
True.
The Bible said is going to happen.
Yes.
And there's more talk now about the end of the world and when God is going to wrap than I've heard in my lifetime. People are starting yes. to see the signs of Israel and Hamas
yeah.
and the wars and people separating from the Jewish community. And
yes.
God says
uh-huh.
we are to love Israel, support Israel. And so you're seeing this great signs now that I think in my lifetime, I haven't seen this as strong before. So right. naturally, people are thinking, whoa, God may be getting ready any day to go, ta-ta-ta, let's go, calling you guys all home, let's go. You know,
yes.
so
uh-huh.
it's very... Every day, all I know is this, every day we get closer to the return of the Lord.
Right.
Every day. So we are to be
right.
prepared, we are to be ready. And I think a lot of people are starting to sense that urgency in their faith. And God's going to say, God says, everybody's going to have an opportunity. Everyone's going to have an opportunity to say yes to Jesus or no.
Yeah.
And one day, everybody on this earth will either say yes or no.
Yeah.
And God's going to wrap this all up. So yes, there is an urgency to us proclaiming the gospel. There is an urgency to us to separating from this world and living for Christ and loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, mm-hmm. and strength,
mm-hmm.
and to loving others and to telling them the truth of the word and making a stance for our faith and not letting this world try to corrupt our lives and getting back to our homes and our families and our children and investing in them the way God's invested into us.
Amen. That just makes me feel good because it's important. What you said was all the important things of life.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what the word says. So, you know, sometimes people ask me, what's your thoughts? What's your opinions? Like, you know, well, my thoughts, my opinions don't matter. Let's
yeah.
open up the word of God and let's see what he says. Because what he believes, I believe. What God loves, I love. What God hates, I hate.
Yes. Boy, just makes me feel good.
It just took me a long time to get that, to learn yeah. that, though. I mean, I'm not a super young guy. I just, I unfortunately lived a life in very strict disobedience to God for years. And I just thank God I am where I am now. But I want to be closer to the Lord tomorrow than I am today.
Well, that's an example, too. I mean, we are all a mix of examples. Some of them are wonderful and some of them are, oh, I wish I didn't have that happen.
Yeah.
So that's life, and that's what we do. And we go forward with it. We pray and follow Jesus as best we know how. That's
yeah.
what I think of.
You know, God just wants to know our heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the whole thing about it, right?
In a way, the commandments.
we're going to fail. We're going to fall. But God wants to know that. There's this great 1 Thessalonians Bible verse that says
uh-huh.
that God's will is for us to strive for holiness.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
pursue,
yeah.
some of the yeah. translations say.
Yeah.
To pursue holiness. That's his will. I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to strive for holiness. And if you want to know what holiness is, just go ahead and refer back to Galatians 5, you know, walking in the Holy Spirit and pleasing to God. But it says pursue it, strive for it. It doesn't say obtain it, become perfect. you know.
Yes.
And we're holy because he's holy. Without yes. Christ, we're nothing.
That's right.
You know, our righteousness is rags in front of him. We all know that. The best I can be is never going to be good enough. But Christ is good enough. And that's our motivation.
And then how do we put that into our life so that we can share the good news of the gospel with other people?
Read the word, read the word, read the word. You know, it's we have to be in the word of God. We have to be absorbing it, meditating. Whether you read one line, one verse, one chapter, one book.
I'm sorry, I just laughed because that's what I had to do to get through reading the Bible.
Yeah.
And that was, each morning I had to read a verse or a chapter, and yeah. That's what it took.
Yeah, you got to be in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to starve yourself if you don't feed yourself.
Yes.
You've got to feed yourself the Word of God. That's the whole point. And like I said, it's not the quantity that you mm-hmm. absorb. It's that quality. You take something in the Scripture, and if it hits you, stop reading and meditate on it. Think about it. Pray over it.
Pray
mm-hmm. the Word to God. Pray to God that you would grow in the wisdom and knowledge of what he's trying to tell you, and listen more than you talk. Listen to what God's telling us. It's all about the Word of God. It's the bread.
Well, it's a very satisfying thing to be fed by God's Word.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it is. Like I said earlier, like what Jesus said, you know, when he's talking to Satan, hey, you know, Satan says, hey, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And, no, that's not how it goes. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we need the Word of God. I know a gentleman that doesn't read, not because he's not able to read, but because he had a brain injury, and it's hard for him to focus on reading for a long period of time. So he has the Bible on audio. You know, he'll download an app, or you know, go to a podcast or something, and he'll listen to the Word of God. He's gone through the Bible. He's known the Lord now for about 6 months. He's gone through the Bible. I think he's on his second time now.
Oh boy!
Yeah, just by listening.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's great.
Well, that's how we grow our faith.
Yes,
faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So,
yes.
That's how you grow. You want to grow your faith? Hear the Word of God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just remember the days when I used to do that, too. It was regular, regular. It was all the time that you could put together. Turn that, whatever it was on, the tape.
Sure.
In my day. The CD, whatever it is.
The Victrola. The 8-track, the 33 and a third. No, I mean, back in the day, I had the Bible on CD.
Uh-huh.
You know? You pop in a CD in your car and just listen to it. You know, I like the Bible that are the commentary is by like a famous actor. Like you could get I think Charlton Heston did it once.
Oh,
the Bible could read by Charlton Heston.
Okay, yeah.
The Bible is also you can get it as read by James Earl Jones, who was the voice of Darth Vader.
You know.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, James Earl Jones reading the Bible, especially when he gets to the part when he describes himself as the Father. That's hilarious. And let's see, who was the other one? Morgan Freeman, I think, also did the Bible. Huh. If I'm not wrong. I could be corrected on that one, but I thought he did as well. Yeah, but there's these great, you know, actors that have done.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible on audio.
It's so great when we remember the little parts that apply to our life. And it just it shows the love and the truth of God's word.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it is. I mean, but kind of like circle all this back around to where we started.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When the word says, when two or more gather, there I am with you, right? That's why Rock of Life does a lot of Bible studies. Like, for example, the women have Bible studies on Tuesday nights, and they also have one on Wednesdays. The men have Bible study on Tuesday nights and on Saturday morning. But we also have a community Bible study on Thursday nights. And because it's important to gather with somebody and go through the word with somebody. If you're married, your wife, your husband, your children,
yeah.
a brother, sister, a mom, a dad, a friend. I mean, it's important for us to actually kind of go through the word with somebody. And here's one cautionary thing. The word of God is the word of God. Be cautious of Bible studies that would say, well, what is this Bible study? What does this Bible verse mean to you? Well, it means this. And what does it mean to you? Well, to me, it means this. No, the Bible is the same for everyone. The lesson is the same for everyone. Now, there may be a certain section of that Bible verse that speaks more directly to you than someone else, but it should never have a completely different application.
No.
It's the word is the word, and it means the same for everyone. And there's multiple, just almost uncountable lessons for every person. But I'm very cautious of anyone that tries to transform the word of God to mean something it really doesn't mean based on their own personal feelings. The word of God is perfect. And it'll mean the same to all of us. Maybe a different emphasis on one point than another, but yeah.
I also like that one of the things at Rock of Life, I remember that there was a regular prayer time also, or a prayer group.
Yeah, we have a prayer group, and we're going to relaunch that prayer group in about a month. We're reassembling it. We had some people move and some people change.
I see.
But I think we're going to start again on Monday nights. I'll announce that as soon as we can. Well, I do have a prayer team that meets every week, but that's an internal prayer team.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously we pray after every service. We invite everybody to come up and pray.
Well, I think there's so many good things about Rock of Life Fellowship, and that's just great. That's why I'm glad you're on the broadcast to remind people, and where is Rock of Life?
we were at Little Chico Creek Elementary School on Amanda Way. Okay, that's where we were before.
Uh-huh.
5 years ago, we moved to 2555 Dominick Road. It's right at the bottom of the Skyway. It's right in the corner of really Bruce Road and the bottom of the Skyway, really. Right across the street from, there's a State Farm office. It's where Italian Cottage used to be. We're behind that. There's a tire center there. There's a furniture store there. Mm-hmm. But it's right next to where the search and rescue area. The building we have now used to be a shooting range called Safer Arms. Mm-hmm. And it's a great location right on the Bob Skyway, right before you go to Paradise or when you're coming down from Paradise. We do have a lot of Paradise people, Magalia people that come to church, Durham people, Chico people. We have people from everywhere, all ages. Yep.
And what time is the services there?
Sunday services are 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
every Sunday. We have Bible studies Tuesday nights, Fridays, Saturdays, men's events, women's events. The best way to find out all of our events is a couple of different ways. You can go to Facebook, look for Rock of Life Fellowship. You can go to YouTube channel, Rock of Life Fellowship. You can go to our website, Rock of Life Fellowship, rockoflifechico.org, rockoflifechico.org. Mm-hmm. Just Google us. You'll find us, search engines everywhere. Mm-hmm. We'll come up. And we have a calendar of events that you can look at. And there's also an app called Tithely, T-I-T-H-E.L-Y, T-I-T-H-E.L-Y. Once you download that app, just type in Rock of Life Fellowship, and that's our private app as well.
Nice. Now, we just have about a minute left. So would you give a little prayer that all of us?
Sure.
Good.
First of all, Father God, we give you glory and praise for how much you do love us. We talked a lot about today about how much you love us. We talked about how much you don't want anyone to perish, but have them come to repentance and spend eternity with you. Your desire is that no one would be separated from you for eternity. So, Lord, I'm just praying that people would hear your word and come to faith, whether it's family members, ourselves, friends, family, co-workers. We thank you for loving us so much, Lord, and we thank you for a great gift of the assembly of people, gathering with a community of brothers and sisters that challenge each other to make each other strong, to pick us up when we stumble. We thank you for, most of all, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for each one of us. Thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. May we honor you in every way that we live. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Alfredo Romero of Rock of Life Fellowship.
Thank you, my friend.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Give me shelter, cover me.